Bloody show-offs, Joshua thought. Lady Mac could easily match their 6G manoeuvres if she wasn't encumbered with escort duties. Even with naval tactics programs running in primary mode, Terence Smith was ever cautious. The lack of any response from Durringham was extremely bad news, although admittedly half-anticipated. What had triggered the fleet commander's paranoia was the total absence of any orbital activity. The colonist carrier starships had gone, along with the cargo ships. The interorbit craft from Kenyon was circling inertly in a 500-kilometer equatorial parking orbit, all systems powered down, even their navigation beacons, which was contrary to every CAB regulation in the fleck. Of the sheriff's office's aging observation satellite there was no trace. Only the geosynchronous communication platform and civil spaceflight traffic monitoring satellites remained active, their onboard processors sending out monotonously regular signals. He lacked the transponder interrogation code to see if the Navy Eland satellites were functional. After a quick appraisal, Smith had ordered a descent into a 1,000-kilometer orbit. His fleet moved in, the combat-capable starships dumping small satellites in their wake to form an extensive high-orbit gravitonic distortion detector network. If any starship emerged within 500,000 kilometers of the planet, the satellites would spot it. The Black Hawks released a quintet of military-grade communication satellites as they raced towards the planet. Iron engines pushed the Cosmats into geostationary orbit, positioning them to give complete coverage of the planet with overlapping reception footprints covering Amerisk in its entirety. 20,000 kilometers out from Lalonde, the Black Hawks split into two groups and swept into a 700-kilometer orbit at differing inclinations. Each of them released a batch of 15 observation satellites, football-sized globes, that decelerated further, lowering themselves into a 200-kilometer orbit. Their parallel tracks provided a detailed coverage sweep over 1,000 kilometers wide. The Black Hawks themselves, with their powerful sensor vistas augmented by electronic scanner pods, were integrated into the effort to reconnoiter Durringham and the Juliff tributary basin. The intention was to compile a comprehensive survey with a resolution below 10 centimeters for the mercenary scouts to use. "It's virtually impossible," Idzerda, the captain of the Black Hawk Cyania, told Terence Smith after the first pass. "That red cloud is completely opaque except for the edges where it thins out, and even there the images we're receiving of the land below are heavily distorted. I'm not even sure cloud is the word for it. It doesn't move like cloud should. It's almost as if a film of electrophosphorescent cells has been solidified into the air. Spectrographic analysis is useless with that light it emits. One thing we have noticed, we ran a comparison with the old cartography memory from the sheriff's observation satellite which you supplied. The cloud is brightest over towns and villages. Durringham shines like there's a star buried under there. There is no way of telling what is going on below it. The only villages we can even see are the ones furthest up the tributaries where the glow peters out. And they are wrong." "Wrong?" Terence Smith asked. "Yes, they're the most recently settled, the most primitive ones, right?" "Yes. We've seen stone houses, gardens, dome-like structures, metalled roads, heck, even windmills. None of it was there on the old images you gave us, and they were only recorded a month ago." "That can't possibly be correct," Terence said. "I know that. So either the whole lot are holograms, or it's an illusion loaded directly into the observation satellite processors by this electronic warfare gimmick you warned us about. Although we can't see how it disrupts the Black Hawk's optical sensors as well, the people who put up that cloud have got some startlingly potent projection techniques. But why bother? That's what we don't understand. What's the point of these illusions?" "What about power emission centers?" Terence Smith asked. "It must take a lot of energy to generate a covering layer like that red cloud." "We haven't found any. Even with their electronic jamming, we should be able to spot the flux patterns from a medium-sized fusion generator, but we haven't." "Can you locate the jamming source?" "No, sorry, it's very diffuse, but it's definitely ground-based. It only affects us and the satellites when we're over Amerisk." "Is the red cloud radioactive?" "No, we're fairly sure of that. No alpha, beta, or gamma emission." "What about biological contamination?" No data. We haven't attempted to sample it.